This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, thank you for staying tuned. I'm Shaoning and this is the Morning Run. It has just gone past 7:18 in the morning. It's Friday, the 11th of December. And in about half an hour, we'll be speaking to YB On Ken Ming on Fitch's decision to downgrade Malaysia's sovereign rating. But in the meantime, let's talk about Felda and FGV. Because earlier this week, Felda announced that it was planning to make a mandatory takeover offer to FGV's minority shareholders at 1 ringgit and 30 cents per share, should it be able to raise its stake in its listed unit. Now, the proposed general offer offers an upside of around 2% above FGV's closing price of 1 ring and 27 cents on the day the announcement was made. Now, FGV's IPO price was 4 ringgit and 45 cents per share back in 2012. Little details, however, have emerged as to the rationale for this mandatory general offer and whether FGV's listing status after the takeover will be maintained, which is probably essential information for minority shareholders. So to give us his take on this issue and a bit of a history lesson on Felda, on the FGV Felda saga, we have on the line with us P. Gunasekaran, editorial consultant at The Vibes. Now, good morning, Gunnar. Give us a quick reminder, please, on why FGV was listed in 2012.
Thank you, Shaoning. The main reason, I believe, was political. So this was in June 2012. The following year was the elections, not the 14th general elections, but the by general elections 13, which was a crucial election for Dato' Sri Najib Razak as Prime Minister. Because he had taken over as Prime Minister in 2009 and he was facing the first his first elections as a person at the top. So the Felda is, some people estimate, has got, there are some 54 parliamentary seats within Felda areas. And though the through the listing, Najib hopes to give part ownership of Felda to the settlers. And this was going to be done through a soft loan to them to buy shares in FGV, which was going to be which will hold part of Felda's assets, and once Felda got some of the IPO proceeds and sale of shares proceeds from the flotation of FGV. After that it gave a special grant to settlers of 1.7 billion and a housing renovation of around 400 million. So there were two aspects to a deal. One, it was designed as a reward for Felda settlers and obtaining the political support for the elections. And number two, it raised about 10 billion in total for both Felda and Felda's associate company, FGV. It became an associate company after the listing of Felda.
But Gunnar, as we know, the share price has declined by more than 70% since the IPO day. Is financial mismanagement the main reason for this? Or is it in the first place it was an entity that should not have been listed due to the conflict between profitability and its social obligation?
In this case here, there was no such conflict between profitability and social obligation. The more money that FGV made, the more they could return as dividends to its shareholders, which includes the settlers as well. So listing itself was not the problem. But the problem was, as it turned out, a lot of funds were raised from the listing. This is about 10 billion. And subsequently, FGV went on a buying spree for assets and bought dubious assets at very high prices. So I suspect many of the losses may also have been due to provisions for diminution in value of these assets. The FGV also had fluctuating profits because of the terms of the land lease arrangement, under which FGV effectively leased land from Felda for 248 million a year, and as well as a 15% share of FGV's profit from this. So an example of the very high prices FGV paid for some of these assets, it was Eagle High Plantations. If you remember Eagle High Plantations, they paid 2.3 billion for a 37% stake. And this was subsequently, it was said to be 3.5 times higher than its actual value. So that's a huge amount of money which has been siphoned off from Felda. So this is just one example. And Eagle High was owned, if you recall, by Peter Sundar of Indonesia, who's known to be a Najib crony. And if you recall, Sondak's plane was in Subang after Najib lost general elections 14. General elections 14 to whisk him out of the country. So when people heard about it, there was a spontaneous rush of many people to the airport, which stopped this from happening.
Yeah, but why is there now the push for Felda to take FGV private? I mean, what is the rationale for it? After all, the share price has already gone down to 130. What difference would it make?
I think basically there is a problem of the land lease agreement, which I was talking about just now. So this is a lease for 99 years, 248 million a year plus 14% of profit. You know? So the land lease agreement also depended on a number of factors, such as the yield, the price of palm oil, and so on. And in FGV's case, I think there was an accounting requirement to revalue the land lease agreement every time the prices fluctuated. So sometimes you could get a gain, and sometimes you could actually get a huge loss from this revaluation. But of course, it was largely a paper loss. It's not something which is actually realized in terms of money. So that caused fluctuating profits for FGV and an uncertain income stream. So in this case here, once FGV becomes a subsidiary, then you can cancel off a lot of the inter-party transactions because it's a subsidiary. And the more FGV shares that Felda buys over, the less amount of inter-code transactions there will be in this case. So, the other thing to remember is FGV is rather cheap at the moment. You know, so it is cheap because perhaps as much as maybe close to 10 billion could have been squandered in terms of the acquisitions, very dubious acquisitions all over the place. You know, things bought in UK and all that, which are totally unrelated to their core business. So as a result of that, their profit has their valuation has fallen. You know, I mean, it was about 16 billion at the time of listing in 2012. It is now perhaps at about 4.6 billion or thereabout, which is a huge loss of about the 11 or 12 billion in the valuation. So because of that, they are actually very cheap at the moment. And if Felda can actually rationalize FGV's operation as from now on, and there's a white paper which was published in 2009 which outlined how this was going to be done. If they can do this, then there is great potential for turning FGV around and improving their performance and therefore the share price. So it is actually a good time for them to buy these shares at this point of time.
And Guna, since you said the rationale for this in the first place for the listing of FGV was political, now, some of these Felda settlers, of course, have lost money on this FGV listing, but does it change who they will support in GE15?
It depends on the kind of messaging that is given to them on the ground at the time of GE15. So I think there are lots of people who don't realize how serious was Najib's role in all of this. So this was something which was pushed by Najib himself, this flotation of FGV. And it was hailed as a great victory for settlers and things like that. But because of gross mismanagement and purchase of assets at extremely high values, this led to FGV's decline. And the new management which came in proved itself to be very inept, inefficient, and even corrupt in some cases. There are lots of cases which are going around, both criminal as well as civil, as far as FGV is concerned. So if the operation can actually show that this is what has happened, you know, in FGV and Felda as a whole, and this was as a result, direct result of the BN government's intervention during that time, then I would think that there will be a lot of support erosion from the Felda settlers for Parikesan National, which is the which holds BN as one of the major partner in the coalition.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was P. Gunasekaran, editorial consultant at The Vibes, giving us his views this Felda FGV saga. I think he brought up some very important points, one of which is why in the first place is Felda taking FGV private, which is basically a lot to do with the land lease arrangement, and also because in terms of a valuation perspective, it is cheap. After all, the share price has declined by more than 70% since its listing dates. Now, the question is, does Felda, then, if they succeed, do they have the muscle, the means to actually restructure FGV and bring it back to financial health? In the past, there was already question marks over the operational efficiency of the plantations. The yield was rather low, cost was too high. So there's a lot of focus on whether they can really carry out what they need to make it one of the better plantation companies in Malaysia, considering it's actually one of the largest. But that's up next. We'll be speaking to Benjamin Carling, professor at the University of Hong Kong, on the challenges of delivering vaccines globally. That's going to be happening after the 7:30 a.m. News Bulletin. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.